Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. It is quite true that one of the hardest jobs, one of the hardest vocations that God gives to anyone is that of being a parent. Certainly is not for the weak, but why? What is it about being a Christian parent that is different, if at all, or more difficult, if at all, than being a parent, period? Joining us to talk about parents teaching God's Word to their children on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 22nd, Deacon Andy Bates. He's Deacon for Youth and Education at Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Faith and Guts. Deacon, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Being a Christian parent's hard enough, or being a parent's hard enough, but you say that the vocation of a Christian parent is not for the faint of heart. It's not for wimps. What do you mean by that?
Well, it takes a lot to be a Christian parent in this day and age to stand up and really be countercultural. You know, there are so many things in life today, especially for families with children, whether they be young children or teenagers, so many things really, you know, begging for their time, demanding their time, whether it be activities at school or extracurricular activities, clubs, organizations, all demanding their time, especially, you know, when it comes to sports and things like that, you know, with rigorous practice schedules. Those all beg for time, and to be a parent that says those things aren't going to dictate our family schedule, but rather the Word of God is going to be the center of our home, is countercultural. And so it's not easy to stand up to other organizations, to teachers, to schools, and coaches, and say these things aren't going to set our family schedule, but rather our family schedule is going to revolve around the gifts that God has given us.
Why do you think it's important? I think from a recent conversation with you, you said something about we often refer to teaching kids the faith, but you of late have said maybe we should tighten that definition and talk about teaching our children the one true faith or the true faith. Why is that distinction important, Andy?
Well, we live in a pluralistic society. The words faith and belief are very common, and it's not politically incorrect to use those words. But as Christians, specifically as Lutherans who confess the Lutheran confessions, and it's important for us to be clear about what it is we want to pass on to our children, what it is we want to teach them. We want to teach them about a God of mercy, a God of grace who forgives their sins, who loves them unconditionally. Not a God who saves them based on their works, but rather loves them unconditionally and forgives them fully because of the work of Jesus Christ.
So you do cite a little bit some of the insights of Professor Christian Smith of Notre Dame. He's got several books out, but he has done some rather very interesting and longitudinal studies, big studies, of the spirituality of kids today, especially of youth today. What have you gleaned from that, and what kind of challenge does that present for parents teaching their kids the faith?
Well, I think what he found was really quite obvious. You know, it's a simple concept. If we're wondering why our kids aren't learning the Word of God, aren't faithful in church attendance, it probably has a lot to do with what we do as parents. If we're faithful in our attendance at church, if we're studying the Word of God regularly, then kids are more likely to follow that as well. If we value these things, our kids are more likely to value them as well. And I think that's really the message that comes out of his research, is that what you are is what you get.
How early does it begin? I mean, we begin to teach our children the most basic things of life the minute we bring them home from the hospital. What about Christian parents teaching their children?
Well, we know from both the scriptures and from science that children can hear in the womb. So even before we bring them home from the hospital, before we even go to the hospital, early as a few months after conception, a child can hear in the womb. You know, it might not necessarily be clear sounds, but they can hear muffled sounds. And Dr. Shirley Morgenthaler from Concordia University in Chicago has written and done some research on this very topic. And it's clear that building a loving, caring relationship with a child from very early on, even before they're born, is so valuable in helping that child develop a clear faith understanding. If their needs are provided for by loving and compassionate parents, it helps them understand a loving and compassionate God.
Where does it begin? If it begins as early as it possibly can, where does the Christian parent's task of beginning to teach their children the Christian faith begin?
Well, it begins in the Word. When we hear the Word that gives us this instruction that it's important for us to teach this faith to our children. And where does it begin in practice? You know, as early as we know that we have a child, as early as we know that a child has been conceived, reading the Word of God to them, you can't go wrong with reading the Word of God to them as early as you know that you have a child. But certainly, the very important gift of holy baptism is I think, probably a clear, I guess, a banner moment, I guess you might say, in terms of recognizing that it's important for us to teach the Word of God and to place these gifts in their hands, especially placing the gift of the Word in their hands. And that's what we promise at the font when we bring our children to be baptized.
What's the relationship between going to church on Sunday morning, Bible class, all of those things, and the parents' task of teaching their kids the Christian faith?
Well, as I mentioned before, I think as parents, attending worship and receiving the gifts of God and attending a regular Bible study, participating in studying the Word of God with our brothers and sisters in Christ, sets an example for our children. And that's certainly one of the greatest benefits. You know, we're setting an example, modeling mature Christian behavior for our children. And then it's also valuable because then we're equipped with the Word of God to respond to their questions, to teach the faith to them in every teachable moment. It doesn't necessarily have to be it's not limited to a formal settings where we're sitting down and reading the Word of God at home. Certainly that's valuable, but even conversations in the car, conversations around the table at breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or even snack time, bedtime, are all valuable opportunities to teach about God's grace and mercy for us.
Where do we find in Holy Scripture the responsibility that Christian parents have for teaching their kids the faith?
Well, we see in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord is one of the, I think, clearest messages to parents, especially fathers, to teach the Word. But we also see examples of it as well, as we see with Timothy and his mother and grandmother.
So someone says, look, unless you're a homeschooler, I send my kids off to school to learn their reading and their writing and their arithmetic. I put them essentially in the hands of trained professionals who know how to teach children. Why can't I do that with my own kids when it comes to matters spiritual?
Well, certainly, you know, God gives us the gifts of others to carry out tasks on our behalf. So sending your child to a public school or even a Christian day school for learning all those various academic disciplines is valuable. But it's clear in the Scriptures that these responsibilities lie in the hands of parents. Can we delegate that responsibility? Certainly, but we're responsible for making sure that it happens and that it happens faithfully. And the valuable relationship between parent and child is only strengthened by discussions on the Word of God and praying together and receiving gifts of God together.
How does the congregation as a whole, and here we're talking about most congregations encompass a broad spectrum of, at the very least, of ages of people. We got, you know, our grandparents and our great-grandparents, even if they're not our own. There are people who are middle-aged, there are people who are of child-rearing age, and then there's everybody beneath that as well. How does the whole congregation fit into the picture of the parental task of teaching the faith?
Everybody's important. Every child of God is important in that process because they are that. They're a child of God no matter what age. There's value in our children learning from people older than them and setting examples for people younger than them, whether it be their parents or, as you said, the extended family, adopted a surrogate grandparents that they have, you know, the more mature, older Christians in their congregation who serve as fine examples of mature Christians, giving our children an opportunity to learn from them and to build meaningful relationships with them, not only strengthens their faith, but also helps us grow in our life together that God has given us to live as His children on this earth and in our congregations.
What do you make of the practice, and this is probably, I would say, probably no more than about 20 years old, I might be wrong, in Christian congregations of more or less segregating the various ages, even segregating the family into events for children, events for youth, events for adults? What do you make of that practice?
Well, we don't really see it in Scripture. We don't see a lot of segregation by age. Children were brought with adults just about wherever they went and quite often would sit around and hear what was being taught. But the concept of age segregation is really newer and stems from evolutionary thinking and evolutionary psychology. If you think about it, at what point in life, besides grade school or high school, are we segregated by age? You know, once we're done with schooling, what other areas of life are we segregated by age? There are none. When we go off to work, whenever we're with family, we're not segregated by age. So it's valuable and important for us to learn to interact with people of all ages and to care for people of all ages, to show mercy to people of all ages. And so there's great value in congregations who keep the whole family together. In opportunities to receive God's gifts together.
Deacon Andy Bates is our guest. He's Deacon for Youth and Education at Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Faith and Guts. We're talking about parents teaching children God's Word.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Thanks to Pastor Clement Preuss and Glory of Christ Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, for renewing their membership in the Issues Etc. 300. That's our congregational support program. It's a growing group of congregations that include Issues Etc. in their annual budget.
every year to the tune of $1,000 or more. And it's very helpful to us, the pastors and the congregations that renew their support and those that are considering it right now, as many congregations are considering budgetary matters and what to include in their budget for the coming fiscal year, to have you go to your congregation, ask them, can we be part of the Issues Etc. 300? Let's put them in our budget. Let's support them in our budget. It's tremendously important to us. We've made it easy for you to make that request of your congregation. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and under the support page, you will find a one-page flyer. It's all ready for you to download and print off and take to your congregation and explain to them what the Issues Etc. 300 is all about. And it's a great time to ask right now as your congregation is making those budget decisions. Thank you in advance for doing so. If your congregation's already a member of the Issues Etc. 300, remind them to renew their membership. Issuesetc.org, click support. Deacon Andy Bates is our guest. We're talking about parents teaching God's word to their children. Andy, I wonder, have we unintentionally bought into that idea of age segregation in the church that we were talking about before, even segregating the family members from one another in the church in the way that we teach our children in the church?
I think for the most part, yes, it's been unintentional, and we kind of give a free ticket to parents to abdicate their responsibilities and say, that's okay, you can't really do this as well as we can. We're much more skilled at it and much more equipped to teach your child, so just let us do that for you.
What are the dangers there, then, if we unintentionally play into that?
Then the relationship between parent and child is broken down, and the relationship between generations within a congregation is broken down, and we're not living life together as we're given to live life together. That koinonia that God has called us to doesn't discriminate by age, but rather includes young and old.
You're talking about rewriting a, for lack of a better word, kind of a paradigm that the church has used for a long time, and thinking more familial, in more familial terms, about the entire congregation. What can a Christian congregation do to turn events that had been targeted at just certain ages into events for entire family? Talking about these, not just events, but and we're talking here about times of Bible study, of fellowship. What can a congregation do?
Well, certainly spend some invested time in taking a long, hard look at what we do as congregations. What do we do to strengthen the family, not just the regular family unit, but the whole congregation? Are we making sure that the whole body of Christ is being strengthened and encouraged in the Word, or are we at every opportunity that a family walks through the door breaking them up and segregating by age? Spend some quality time looking at these things and realizing that, you know, we didn't get here overnight, but it took some time to get to that, and it'll take some time to make adjustments and to make changes so that we can really focus on bringing the gifts of God to the whole family and strengthening the family.
Bottom line, then, just in terms of Sunday morning, do we need entire families together in church during the divine service on Sunday morning?
Absolutely. There are great opportunities for the whole family to benefit from God's word and his gifts in the sacrament in divine service on Sunday morning. Yes, it might be challenging for a toddler to sit still, but that's okay. As a congregation, as a family, we struggle with them. Sometimes as an adult, it's challenging to sit still, especially in this busy and distracted world that we live in. We're constantly used to having five different things going on and, you know, watching things on TV or the TV going in the background while we're surfing the web and looking at Facebook on our phone. To sit and or to stand or, you know, to all those different postures that we use in the divine service and merely to receive the gifts of God sometimes is challenging for us and for our attention span. So quite often we can identify with the small child who has a difficult time staying focused. but for the child who can't stay quiet. As a congregation, we learn to support those parents. We hopefully help those parents, lend a helping hand. For the family that has multiple children, that's where those extra grandparents and other members of the congregation can serve as extended family to help comfort those children during that time and help them learn about the divine service. One of the greatest examples I've seen in our congregation was when an extended family member was helping one of our toddlers learn about the divine service. And rather than sitting in the back of the sanctuary, sitting near the front, so that this little two-year-old girl could see all that was going on. And so the extended family member, the extended mom or grandma was whispering in her ear what was going on throughout the divine service and certainly using terms that were more understandable for a two-year-old, but helping her see that God was at work in this service and delivering his gifts. What a great example of how the divine service is for all ages.
So you're basically making the case that the historic liturgy is uniquely suited for, and it is not a barrier to age. It is not something that one has to, I don't know, be of a certain age of majority to either learn or appreciate.
Absolutely. It's learned throughout life, whether we, you know, as we continue to grow and as we're continued to be catechized throughout life, we continue to learn about the gifts of the divine service. Even as I have the opportunity to serve in catechesis with our young students, I continually learn from the catechism and about the divine service as I teach. So it's a lifelong process. There's always the liturgy is so rich and so deep that there's something that we can continue to learn about the divine service throughout life, whether it's as a little child simply learning the postures and when those postures are appropriate to stand or to fold our hands or to bow or to kneel. All of those things are valuable, and for a little kid who's learning those, that they're setting a pattern that will benefit them later on in life as they continue to learn more about the divine service and why those postures are important.
Like so many things in life, Andy, is 95% of it just showing up, being there?
Well, certainly it's the work of God and His Word through in the Holy Spirit in us. But it's kind of hard to receive those gifts when you're not there. So yes, being there is pretty key.
Two other quick questions: do we start too late, as a general rule, in formally educating our kids in those things that we consider basic in the Christian faith? In the Lutheran context, that would be the small catechism. Do we generally start too late with those kids?
I think it varies from congregation to congregation and from family to family. And certainly each child is different with different abilities and development. But it's never too early to start teaching, to start catechizing, teaching these truths of the faith so that, you know, for example, teaching the Lord's Prayer in our Sunday school setting, our kids have learned the Lord's Prayer, and many of them have learned it in sign language as well, giving them a tactile way to learn and have something to help them remember the Lord's Prayer. Do they understand the Lord's Prayer fully? No. Many of them, especially the toddlers, don't understand it fully, and many adults don't understand it fully either. But giving them the opportunity to learn it now and commit it to memory now so that they can continue to pray it throughout life and learn from it throughout life is so valuable and so important.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, Andy, what do you say to a parent who says, I really want to do this with my children? I feel somewhat unqualified. What is the best piece of advice you can give them in terms of where to begin with their kids in being that teacher of the one Christian faith?
Start with your pastor. Go to your pastor and let your pastor know that you value this vocation, this child that has been entrusted to you by God, and that you want to remain faithful to the promises that you committed at the font and to holy baptism for your child, and ask for suggestions and resources and support. And maybe your congregation has, you know, additional staff, such as a director of Christian education or a Lutheran school. Continue to ask for support and also join with other parents in your congregation in this endeavor. Ask for their support as well, and encourage and support them also. Pray for one another. Pray with one another. Get together with other families to share in family devotions or special occasions. All of those are great opportunities to encourage one another.
Deacon Andy Bates is deacon for youth and education at Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Faith and Guts. Andy, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure.
Folks, we are just 23 days away from the premier conference for lay people, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. And if I'm counting correctly, that's three Sundays between now and then when you can get the bulletin insert for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in your church's bulletin to remind people to register and attend. June the 14th and the 15th, you can get that bulletin insert or a bulletin paragraph at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. Just scroll down, you'll find both the bulletin insert and a bulletin paragraph to include in your church's bulletin over the next three Sundays in advance of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. You can register online, $100 per person for this two-day conference, issuesetc.org, or call Craig, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, and ask him about registering for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the Daily Prayer Offices, talking with Pastor Will Whedon about morning prayer, the litany, and responsive prayer. Also tomorrow, we'll discuss John 3. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Pastor Joel Frischi and David Kind will be our guests. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.